Hello, and welcome to Anime Audio Commentary. Today I'll be commenting on episode 12 of Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood. If you'd like to watch along, then start watching now. Alright, so last we left off, the Elric brothers were sort of, I guess, working up the courage to visit their mentor, and given what we already know, and given this little bit of a flashback here Ed was having, it would seem like their teacher is something of a surrogate parent to them. So, you know, even though they've already made it to Dublith, they're even still just sort of hoping that their teacher might not be home. So, you know, this is presumably not the teacher, given that he's, wearing the outfit of a butcher in front of a butcher's shop. You know, it's pretty noticeable that he refers to them as the Elric Shrimps, but, Ed knows better than to freak out about it. I also find it interesting that despite saying she's not feeling all that great, but better than usual, she's still able to kick Ed across the street. Oh dear. So at this point, the only thing she's mad at them for is that Edward has become a state alchemist. You know, this doesn't bode well for when she inevitably figures out what's going on here. You know, if she's so mad at them for becoming state alchemists that she's willing to, you know, throw them around like ragdolls, I can only imagine things are going to get worse in short order. Now, Izumi and Cid here have an interesting relationship that I recall really enjoying for, I guess, the novelty of it. I probably won't get into it too much in this episode, but I think there are episodes later on that really exemplify how I feel about it. Alright, so the plot's getting, a little thick here. Ed's father and I guess Alphonse's father too, as it were, is still alive. They, I guess, had assumed he had been dead, and I don't know, the circumstances aren't really clear, but it would seem as though he just sort of abandoned his family. And I guess to be fair, what we've seen of him so far, he's a rather dour and intimidating figure. You know, just from what little we've seen of him so far, there doesn't really seem to be anything redeeming about him. And I guess we haven't really seen him present day, but I'd imagine things haven't changed too much, especially if he's found out that his house has been burned down in the intervening years. So it seems like despite Trisha Elric being convinced that he would return, I guess, any day now or soon, you know, for Trisha, that never really happened, unfortunately. Oh dear. So this is, probably the breaking point, you know. Obviously, Alphonse can't exactly dig into the meal, no matter how good it might be and how insistent their teacher is that they all eat. So I'm wondering just how much Izumi is familiar with the Elric brothers and their sort of circle of friends. You know, they just sort of name drop Winry like it's no big deal, as if Izumi sort of knows who she is. You know, I wonder, considering she lives a significant train journey away. I guess that's nice for the Elric brothers in a sense, in that there is some amount of consistency in their life now, in the form of Izumi not having changed in all these years. Alright, so this is interesting. Much like Edward, Izumi can perform alchemy merely by clapping her hands together. So whether that denotes a great amount of skill or something else, you know, it's very clear that she is not to be messed with in any regard, especially considering how she was able to essentially build a dam. So that's the line that I think is really interesting, in that essentially, despite forming a dam, you know, when people ask her, you know, what's the deal, she just sort of says, you know, I'm a housewife just passing through. I find it interesting that to her, the most important aspect about her is her relationship to her husband. I don't know quite how to express my feelings on it, but I think it's indicative of a measure of devotion that you don't normally see, I guess. Like, I don't know, maybe it's something like being a housewife is sort of like a demonized thing these days, people assume it's a bad thing, but I don't know. I think you can really have pride in any job you do if you are willing to do it well, being a housewife included. So this right here is indicative of just how strict a teacher Izumi is. You know, she dropped the Ulrich brothers off on an island and says, "Have fun surviving. Ponder this riddle too while you're at it, and if you don't know the answer when I come back to pick you up, you're just going back home. I'm not going to teach you anything." You know, that's a pretty harsh, training regimen, especially for what are essentially like a pair of orphan kids. So Izumi has an interesting philosophy here in that it's partially how she was trained, so she sees fit to train others the same way. And it's also that, you know, if they don't have the resourcefulness to survive on their own, then, you know, they don't have what it takes to be truly great, so it's not worth it. And I think that's not a bad philosophy to a degree, but, you know, maybe it's a little harsh to start out. So she also told them to ponder, "All is one and one is all," or something to that effect. And in my mind, the thing I immediately think of are the Three Musketeers, all for one and one for all. But, you know, she's obviously not referring to Alexandre Dumas. So unfortunately, it would seem as though the Elric brothers are learning a bit of a harsh lesson here in that, you know, sometimes you kind of have to be cruel. They were vacillating over whether or not to cut up this rabbit they caught, and because they waited too long, a fox snatched it and fed it to her young. So, you know, killing the rabbit is, from one point of view, a cruel thing to do, but to not kill the rabbit and to starve would be an act of cruelty to oneself, and you know, if you're killing something for food, you're not killing it out of malice. But by that same token, if you are killing something for food, it's sort of your responsibility to do it in the least painful way possible. Because, you know, I think that's part of the teaching here, you know, to essentially harmonize with nature and, well, I don't know, like, return to monkey, as it were. Once you can effectively return to monkey and you understand the fundamentals of the universe, then you can be a better alchemist by deconstructing and reconstructing things from their component atoms. So Ed's finally coming around to that realization, you know, he is still alive, and that is in large part because he ended the life of something else. And, you know, it's a bit of a heavy realization, but once you do realize it and sort of get over the initial shock, you know, then you can sort of formulate your approach to life in a way that is, you know, better. You know, I think it's really encapsulated in that little scene where Ed says, "I'm sorry," before stabbing the rabbit as he cuts away from it. You know, they spare us the gore of the rabbit being stabbed, but they really impart that this is something done reluctantly. You know, this is making me do some big thinking here, because they caught that food and they just sort of tossed a measure of it over to those two foxes, who immediately began tearing it apart. You know, that really is sort of what separates humans from animals, in that it's consciousness and, I guess, awareness of things outside of the self. You know, like, even if the fox had the capability to share food with something else, you know, it wouldn't necessarily care that something else would be hungry, whereas the Ulrich brothers do understand, and therefore they do share. You know, I find it interesting that they're sort of coming to this realization that they are less than motes of dust in the grand design of the cosmos, and they're not sort of horrified by that. Because that generally seems to be the trope, you know. Once you realize your relative place within all of creation, it's generally accompanied by a fair bit of despair. But I think there's some sort of mental fortitude there in recognizing your place and accepting it. So I kind of wonder about Izumi's teaching method here, in that she really just seems to be beating them, albeit somewhat defensively. It seems almost like a sort of, like, combination alchemy lecture and martial arts lesson. I mean, they came to her for alchemy practice, but alchemy, I guess I'm not really seeing how that relates to more martial arts type stuff. Uh-oh. Innocent kids are asking questions here. So, Izumi has sort of dropped a little nugget of knowledge here, in that clapping the hands together sort of forms the circle and the body becomes the matrix of the transmutation circle. And Ed is only just now putting things together, you know. He saw the truth and was able to do this. Therefore, if she can do this, she must have seen the truth as well. And as far as the Ulrich brothers know, there's only one way to see the truth, and it's not good. So it seems like both groups here are sort of walking on eggshells around a question they're both thinking about. So, Izumi has sort of figured it out here. The Ulrich brothers have done something really foul. You know, it's notable that rather than getting mad, she's just sort of sorrowful about it, considering she too had made the same mistake. Although, she made it out with all her limbs, seemingly. Oh, Oh dear. So you know that whole, like, puking up blood thing was sort of treated as a gag, kind of. But it turns out it has, a rather more sinister origin. So it's sort of interesting how Izumi is sort of the inverse of the Elric brothers. They wanted their mother back, whereas Izumi wanted her child back. And for her hubris, she lost internal organs. Presumably the ones involved in reproduction, so... Man, you know, the truth really... really kicks you while you're down. I mean, I guess it is kind of nice in a sad way that the Elric brothers, and Izumi too, now have, I guess, other people they can relate to. That last little scene also sort of, kind of echoes the scene when, Alphonse was dragging Ed's body over to Granny's house. You know, they were sort of repeating over and over again, "We're sorry, we didn't mean to do this," and stuff like that. Alright, well that's it for this episode. If you've enjoyed it, then by all means, tune in for the next one. See you, Space Cowboy.